My first date took place at the end of my sophomore year at St. Maybelline, a Catholic girls' school in Los Angeles. And it was a blind date and a double date arranged by a classmate named Candy. And Candy and I were opposites. At 16, I was barely female with very short hair that I cut myself and an absolutely curveless body, while Candy had vavoom way beyond her years. She was what my father would have called a good-looking broad. And he probably did call her that when he met her, knowing my father. So Candy had been recently used and dumped by Dirk, a star football player at St. Clarisil. But she wasn't going to take it lying down, so to speak. By the way, I've changed the names of some people and places in this story. So Candy used her advanced flirting skills to arrange a double date for us with Whitey, Dirk's best friend, and Bud, Dirk's younger brother. And we'd all go bowling, and then afterward, these two boys would talk about Candy in front of Dirk, perhaps rekindling his passion. This was her plan anyway. So I'm not going to tell you much about that first date. That's not what my story is about. Except I need to say it was really fun, and I fell deeply in love with Bud, who was so cute and laughed at my jokes. And I also need to tell you why I did not kiss Bud that night. That date took place on a Saturday, and a few hours before Bud was due to pick me up, my sister Cecilia, who's 2 years older, pulled me aside and said that when Bud brought me home and walked me to the front door to kiss me, she and her friend Ginger would be standing on the other side of the door watching this kiss through the peephole. And this prospect was so mortifying to me that when Bud did drop me off that night, I just said, "Thank you very much, I had a really good time." And I bolted out the door and up the steps and into the house. And my sister and her friend weren't even there. So despite my strange behavior, Bud called a few days later to ask me if I'd like to go miniature golfing, just the two of us. Oh, yes, I would. And so that Friday night, he picked me up in his father's light blue Lincoln. And as we drove off, I was delirious with joy. And miniature golf was so romantic, with all the windmills and the castles all lit up. And afterward, we went and got a bite to eat. And then we thought we'd better start the long drive across the valley to my house because so we wouldn't miss our curfews. I had told Bud mine was at 11 o'clock and his was at midnight. So that worked out very well because he actually lived about 30 minutes drive from my house. So we got into the Lincoln and Bud asked me to slide over and sit next to him while he drove. And I did. Now, I was the youngest of eight kids, and so I had often sat close to or even on top of other people in cars. But this was a brand new thing. So there I was with the whole left side of my body pressed up against the right side of Bud's body, and mind you, I had rarely had any physical contact with any boy who I was not related to, and then he had his arm draped over my shoulders, and it was very awkward carrying on a conversation in this position, and also I was concerned about what people would think when they looked in our car, say at a stoplight. Because you know, if I was sitting on the passenger side, I could be Bud's sister or a friend, but sitting pressed up against him like that, I could only be his girlfriend or a slut. And I worried the whole way home, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I should slide back over to my side of the car. But I didn't. So when he pulled up in front of my house about 10:45, This goodnight kiss seemed inevitable since we were already in such close contact, but it seemed impossible because I felt so guilty about the previous half hour of contact. You know, a kiss would be going way too far. So what I did was I warded off the kiss with nonstop talking, my superpower. And I just kept talking and talking about nothing. And every so often, Bud would try to break in, and he'd say something like, you know, I better get going. I'll call you tomorrow. But I wouldn't stop. I just babbled, you know, on and on. And finally, he told me it was 11 o'clock. It was my curfew time. I needed to go in. And then I had to confess that I didn't have a curfew. That's right. My mom didn't even think. It didn't even occur to her to give me a curfew, probably because I was such a goody two-shoes and kind of a dork. And it just didn't occur to her. And so I said I thought that 11:30 would be fine with my parents. So this was great. It gave me 30 minutes more with the boy I loved, because then he still had a half hour to get home. So then he said, he had a confession to make, and the confession was that he had come very close to not calling me for a second date. And my heart sank, and I thought, oh, is there another girl, or is he all bummed out about the long drive to my house with the price of gas so high? No, his feelings had been hurt because I hadn't kissed him out at the end of the first date. And then I told him all about Cecilia and the peephole, and we laughed. And he said, oh, he never would have guessed that was my reason for bolting out of the car. He thought I just didn't like him, you know, as if that were possible. And I said, no, I really liked him. And he said, oh, so you're going to kiss me tonight, right? And I burst into tears. And I said, I really liked him. I really did want to kiss him, but I was scared. It was my first time. I'd never been kissed, and I was just too scared. And looking back, I think the reason I was scared was I figured a first kiss was something that totally changed your life. And this is how people feel about losing their virginity. But I was so prone to exaggeration that this is so. So he told me that he wasn't going to leave. He kind of gave me this ultimatum. He wasn't going to leave without a kiss, and it was getting pretty late, and he needed to get home by midnight. And he kind of pulled me toward him, and he also said something sweet that was, you know, he was glad he'd always be the first guy I ever kissed, and which was very sweet and romantic and everything. But I still just couldn't do it, and I kind of pushed him away, and I said, you know, I just need a few minutes to prepare, and also I think you should move the car because we're right in front of the front window, and if you could just drive around to the side of the house. So he started the engine and drove around to the side of the house, and I had him parked just right outside the bathroom because you'd have to stand in the bathtub and look out a very high up window to see this kiss. And I figured nobody would bother to do that. And so we pulled around to the side. I still wasn't quite ready, and so I decided to ask him about his love life, and he told me he'd only kissed one other girl, and it was Bridget, a very pretty junior at my school, his only girlfriend, his only kiss. And I thought this was so odd because I figured all good-looking people started dating in kindergarten. And here he was in 11th grade, and he'd only kissed one girl, so he wasn't really much more experienced than me. And so then Bud reminded me again of the time, just like Kirk is doing. And so I thought, oh, you know what? A first kiss is probably like pulling off a Band-Aid or getting into a cold swimming pool. You should just do it quick. Just get it over with. And so I said, okay, go ahead. And I sort of tilted my chin up, and he kind of chuckled. And I closed my eyes. And then as his face got near, I opened my eyes, and I saw his eyeballs kind of roll back in his head, which was just weird. And then his lips landed on my lips, and then it was over. And then it was so exciting, my first kiss. I mean, it was a very big deal. And so we kind of hugged and kissed a few more times and laughed and giggled. And then he looked at his watch, and it was 10 to midnight. Oh, my God, his face fell. And I said, well, what's going to happen? I mean, won't your parents cut you some slap? No, his parents were maniacs, and his mother chased him around the house, hitting and yelling at him, and his father had been a boxing champion in the Korean War, and he landed hard punches, and you know, he was just doomed. And then I just burst into tears again because, oh, this brave, handsome boy had endured so much abuse, and now he was going to endure even more on my account. If only I'd kissed him a half hour ago, this wouldn't be happening. And when we held each other tight, and he said to me, you know, whatever happens, no matter what they do to me, I will never regret staying out past my curfew with you. And I had read Romeo and Juliet in English class, And I'm here to tell you there's no better line in that whole play. Thank you.